Well, hello, and welcome to episode 5 of Mixtape.
Mixtape Memories.
Yay! I'm Matt Hart Spade.
I'm Jenners.
And thanks for tuning in. We have a lot of fun stuff for you today.
Yes, lots in store.
There's been some fun news, I think, over the last week or so. Mm-hmm. I'm really excited personally that Bjork is reissuing all of her albums, all 9 of them, on colored limited edition cassette tapes.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
I can't believe it.
And it's cool because each one has its own color, which kind of corresponds with its personality, I feel.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's cool. You know, she's always doing something that's a little ahead of the curve. No.
Yeah, it's like a fun collectible.
Yeah.
It'll probably like spike the sales of like cassette players everywhere.
Yeah. She's selling them internationally, I believe. So yeah, anyone can grab them before they're gone.
What's your favorite?
My favorite Bjork album?
Yeah.
I love so many of them, but I think the one that I would, if I were forced to pick, would probably be Homogenic. Mm. I don't know. That's when I first really fell in love with her. I mean, of course, I love Post and Debut, but I think it took it to another level with Homogenic for me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's definitely like evolution. I could see the evolution there, but I think I'll always love Debut.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
Just classic.
Yeah.
It reminds me of like my young self or something, you know?
Uh-huh.
To me, it was like such a dramatic change from like if you heard like her Sugar Cube
of
stuff,
course, yeah.
And then her solo stuff, and I just like the quirkiness of it, but it was also still very like soft and sensitive.
Mm-hmm. So. Well, I love that album kind of, I mean, all of her albums really take you on a journey, but with that one, you have everything from like Venus as a Boy, which is so like touching and I don't know. I think that's a really moving track, to something like Violently Happy, which is the polar opposite. You know?
I liked Big Time Sensuality.
Of course, yeah.
I liked that it was sounded like one part was like in a bathroom stall or something.
Yes,
yes. And so that's always like the party track for me on that album.
That's still a great song to dance to, I think.
Yeah.
And she's also reissuing a bunch of old vintage t-shirts that she put out in the 90s.
I think that's really cool.
Yeah.
Because
a lot of that stuff nowadays, like, I mean, you have to dig on Etsy and eBay, but they're pretty valuable, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I still have a bunch of my old t-shirts, do you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
A couple. Some of them it's hard to keep because it's like there are so many holes or it's so, you know, trashed.
Yeah.
That you can't really wear it out.
You've probably worn them a lot more than I've worn mine, because I think like I mostly bought it but they never looked good on me, so I just bought it just to like have it or wear it at home, but you know, you probably wore yours out more.
I guess so. Yeah. I think we touched upon it the last episode, but one of the first ones I had was that it was the cover of Green Day's Dookie. And I wore that t-shirt constantly in like 94, 95.
Was it like a white shirt?
It was like actually a black background with the album art.
Gotcha.
And in the back it said something profane. I don't remember.
Of course.
Yeah. You know, we've talked in a couple episodes now about these larger stadium shows, and it was just announced that Modest Mouse is going to do this big tour with the Black Keys.
Yeah.
It's a state, pretty much they're going around the country playing all the major cities in like basketball stadiums.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, one, it'll be interesting to kind of see Modest Mouse in that kind of a setting. And I think, well, at least Black Keys, like, I definitely approve of that as a touring partner.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I don't know, I feel like their touring partners recently have been like kind of questionable in my opinion. Like,
I think I know you're talking
look
about
this, yeah, I had to look it up, but when they went on tour with Brand New, I was like really confused. And just
that was probably very bro-y crowd.
I can't imagine like how awful those crowds were. But like, not even just bro-y, but like kind of, I don't know what you call it, like not fake emo, but like they're emo, but they're like millennial emo or something.
Well, it's also going back to like the mall punk thing, even though I feel like Brand New's heyday was probably, I don't know, 15 years ago. So it was kind of after the mall punk thing, but
yeah,
I don't know.
Not so brand new anymore.
Yeah, not so brand new. Damn old.
Damn old. Yeah, they should just change their name. But yeah, no, I don't know. To me, Modest Mouse is a little more precious, but like maybe they've like evolved further, but I don't know. Like, always like love old Modest Mouse, but like just I judge people by who they go on tour with. Mm-hmm. I just can't help it.
Yeah.
And you know, I judge them for the brand new choice. So, but now it's like, okay, well, maybe they learned, hey, that kind of sucked. Mm-hmm. Let's go on tour with like a band we actually like the music, maybe.
Right.
Who knows? Maybe they like brand new. Maybe I'm just like
I don't think so. I don't think so. Although I have to say I'm not the hugest Black Keys fan, but I feel like this is a little bit better of a fit, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, they're a more respectable band, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You know, my chance to go to Barclays, for sure.
Exactly.
But yeah, I'll look out for those $10 nosebleed tickets.
Exactly. Exactly.
But although this may sell out, I suspect, in New York at least.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, well, there is also some other weird news, like about MySpace, which is like another blast from the past.
Yeah, I don't know how this happened. I didn't read too much into it because obviously when was the last time you went to a MySpace page, but they lost literally all the music that was uploaded from, what was it, the mid-2000s until a couple years ago.
Yeah.
How is that possible? Some sort of like error in the system?
Yeah, somebody did not do a good job transferring files.
Terrible.
But you'd think that there'd be like a backup or something. Like you just
it's
like
very
lose
strange.
Everything. I mean, I don't know how cyberspace really works, but I always thought like it's hard to lose things like. You know?
And such a massive amount of music, you know?
Yeah.
I do recall a time back in the day when you would go to, you know, whatever band's MySpace page and they would have the 4 songs sampled. And that was kind of the go-to before mm-hmm. SoundCloud, before iTunes and all this kind of stuff.
It's so huge.
That was where you went, and that's where you actually... It was kind of an all-in-one shop because you got to see photos of the band, you got to see a little bio, you got to hear the music, and then, of course, the top 8 and everything that followed and all the comments and whatnot. But it really was a hub for a couple years.
Oh, yeah. Giant. Yeah. Like, it was probably, like, my first big experience in social media, kind of networking. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, like, just giant for music. And it made discovering bands so much easier, for sure. Like, and you didn't need to have a website anymore.
Exactly.
Band, you know?
Yeah, it was very easy just to upload. And
We laugh at it now, the idea of MySpace. Uh-huh. Like, but, you know, it really kind of changed the game a lot in
it
music.
Did. You know, I remember a couple years ago, I want to say Justin Timberlake put a ton of money back into MySpace to try and make it a thing again. And obviously it didn't happen.
Yeah, I can't imagine. Unless
I don't think
they
it's
going to
come
like,
back at this point.
Giant strides and huge changes or something. I just can't imagine.
No.
People, you know, going back to MySpace.
No.
They would have to do a heavy rebranding.
Exactly.
Sure.
Pretty dead in the water. Especially now with this news, I don't think... Even if there was any interest in revisiting that, I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah. You know, whatever Reddit link you sent me about it, somebody posted, like, it must have been, like, a link to Paper Magazine's, like, MySpace page or something. And I went to it, and it was, like, last login 2007. So, you know.
That's probably almost everyone. That's probably 90% of the users.
I know.
Yeah.
I remember, like... it was either Friendster or MySpace. I got like really passionate about deleting my profile once. And then, but after you like leave these social networks, it's like very isolating.
Mm-hmm,
so,
mm-hmm.
You know, eventually you always end up back on it, you know?
Yeah. You go for, or you hop from one to the next.
Yeah.
You know, a couple years ago, I went to Friendster.com just to see what was going on.
Oh my gosh.
If I even remembered my login, anything. Just to, I don't know why, just kind of to a total TBT, like way back. And, I swear it's like a gambling site now or something.
Oh my gosh.
You can't, it's there, I don't think any of that content was saved either.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
Friendster was like, even though they were trying to make it like music, whatever, mm-hmm. it never, it was more like, yeah, just like people.
Yeah.
Versus like bands and stuff. They try to do that, but that didn't really take off. I liked it better as an interface for Friendship.
Yeah, yeah.
More than I did.
I love that it had like the testimonials as if it were, I don't know.
Wow.
Someone commenting on your resume or something. I don't know.
Yeah. I actually like forgot about that until you just
This person is a good friend because they're caring, they're loyal. You
That's hilarious. Oh my God. Yeah. Was it like walls or something? So like
of course.
Friendster
yeah.
wall.
Yeah.
Is that what it was?
But you know what? You kind of needed those stepping stone social media platforms to get where we are now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, kudos.
Yeah, kudos to Friendster. Friendster. Although, like, I definitely remember, like, meeting people and, like, thinking, like, it was, like, a business meeting. Like, it was, like, some kind of, like networking for work or something like mm-hmm. that. You'd find somebody who, like, worked at a label or something. Mm-hmm. And at the time, I was, like, managing bands or something. And then you end, like, you realize very quickly that they think it's a date. And you think it's a meeting. It's like, welcome to the music industry.
Yeah,
yeah. Or any industry, really.
Yeah. Sometimes the lines were blurred back in the day. I'll just say that.
Lots of blurry, blurred lines yeah. like that awful song.
Yeah. But consensual blurred lines.
Consensual. Yeah. I don't know. Some people may question how consensual that is these days.
Yeah.
We won't go into that.
No,
but
no, no.
You know. Always like, yeah. I mean, working in entertainment, there's always like lots of drinking mm-hmm. and who knows what else going
it's
on.
It's part of the culture.
Yeah, you know? It's nightlife.
Yeah.
You know, it was more like it didn't feel like work a lot of the time.
No, no.
You know, so when it feels like play, you know, it creates like a different environment.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's like definitely things that probably wouldn't fly today.
No,
at
no,
all.
No.
No, it's all progress. It's progress.
Yes, yes. Did you want to maybe visit our Wayback Machine?
Oh, yeah. Let's do a little Wayback.
Because I think we both found some interesting posts from a long time ago that are kind of funny to read back.
Oh, my gosh. Do you want to start?
Sure. I dug up a post from 2006
yes.
From the Siren Festival in Coney Island. At this point, I want to say it was a few years old.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember the exact year it started. Maybe like 02, 03.
Yeah, I think 02 or 03 for sure.
So this is already a few years in, so it's kind of established at this point. The headliner on the main stage was Scissor Sisters, and this was kind of the peak of, like, that first album was huge, and it really was a moment.
Yes.
But the set was kind of flawed because of technical problems, and I was really bitchy in my recap.
Outdoor festivals!
Yeah. Also, it was, like, 9,000 degrees outside because it was end of July, you know.
Yeah, July, Coney Island.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
So I'll just read it. So I titled the post Just Not If You Can Hear Me, which is a reference to one of the songs on the debut, obviously. So I wrote, whoa, Siren Festival, time to hire a new sound person. The music stopped not once but twice for the beloved Scissor Sisters last night in Coney Island, both at the same exact point of their new single, I Don't Feel Like Dancing. To make up for the lack of sound, which ate up 10 minutes of their set, the sisters danced, shook their tambourines, and stripped. By the last two songs, Jake was down to his red-banded gray CK brief. That was very specific. Seriously, that was it. They closed the set strongly with Filthy Gorgeous and Music is the Victim back-to-back. Anna was her usual chatty self, throwing down comments and tirades about Con Edison, appropriately enough, the lack of good places to dance in New York City, and how she wished LSD was back in style rather than Coke. Her glittery blue dress and high heels were fabulous. We're kind of glad Jake pranced around half naked the latter half of the show because the music slut was definitely not feeling his Richard Simmons-esque glittery muscle tee.
Oh,
nice try, though. We still love you, Jake. I love that. It's kind of funny.
That's great.
Definitely one of the best, if not the best, Siren headliner since its inaugural year. Aww. Yeah. I actually do remember that show pretty well. I remember like where I was standing and whatnot. But that was,
yeah, I totally remember them playing Siren.
Yeah. That was a memorable set in spite of, you know, what I mentioned in that. What did you pull up from the okay. from the Wayback
so,
Machine?
So yeah, from the vaults of Wayback. So I have this one show from 2003, and it was a show at Chennai, if you remember.
Oh yeah, of course.
That venue, the Lower East Side. So I went to go see Enon and Panthers, mm-hmm. and so here's my review of that.
Okay.
The title, for whatever reason, Lost and Naked, .. in this city.
Okay.
It was probably a Panthers lyric. And
got it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So not totally random. Although it's kind of funny that Naked comes up in yours and mine.
Oh, yeah. Unintentionally, that's good. It was a moment, Naked moment.
Yes.
Okay, so here's the entry. I went to see Enon and Panthers at Chennai last night. Panthers just keep getting better. I'm not sure how to describe it, but they're energetic, robust in their passions, not afraid to swing the mic at your face. I swear Jason was going to hit me one of those times. He's a wild front man. Justin was tearing it up on the guitar, but you can tell the band has grown a lot from touring. But many of the people at Chennai were there to see Enon, so Panthers was a totally different platter for them. I saw Nina and Matthew at the show, not sure what they thought of it, but I'll get the 411 soon. I'm sure. I was a little buzzed on red wine. Chennai only has wine and beer, and right up near the front for both sets. Jason Panther brought out the duct tape. But alas, he did not duct tape himself or anyone else. Sad face. But I still love him for his wild stage antics. I saw Jason from the Bogs and P from On Air Library and talked with Panthers guitarist Justin and drummer Jeff. All nice peeps. Enon was also more rockin' last night. Oh my god. It's a little difficult to pinpoint, but it was hard in a good way. Like, the group just let go of all inhibitions and spirited away every single sound, effect, noise, note. John Enon was all over the place, twisting knobs, stepping on pedals, and flicking switches. Then his fingers were running all over his guitar to the point where it looked like he was grinding his teeth from the intensity. Toko's ethereal voice was still cool and ghostly in recognizable hits like In the City and Disposable Parts. That's very formal of me right there. John was funky and wacky in songs, especially in tunes that played up that side like Carbonation. At the end of the set, John just let the effects go on and on and on until the room emptied. When he stepped off the stage, I thought he was trying to get past me, but then he just stood next to me and put his arm around my shoulders. It was bizarre and funny, like he had been watching the show with me the entire time. Then we took a photo together to capture the moment.
Well, yeah. Sounds like a good time. I have to say, time. I haven't thought about either one of those bands in, I don't know, 15 years probably.
Yeah.
You know?
No, me neither, actually. No, I pulled it up. Although, Enon more than Panthers, mm-hmm, I think. Mm-hmm. I just loved them, and they had the potential.
I do feel like they had the potential, yeah.
But, you know, I don't know. For some reason, they just, like, never took off.
And, I mean, that is, that happens, and I think we witnessed bands that we thought were really going to break through and then didn't, and then vice versa.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, it's always so sad. But, yeah, they were one of them, for sure. Sisters, too, they kind of...
Yeah, kind of fizzled.
They were bigger maybe abroad.
They were huge. Yeah, they were stadium size in Europe.
Yeah.
But now, Jake is doing a solo thing, and he just released a solo album, and it is like kind of country inspired, and all the images are very like 70s, porn star. It's very strange. And the music was really forgettable for me, unfortunately.
Yeah.
You know? I've met him a couple times and he was so sweet. I think he's a really nice guy. Obviously, I was a big fan of Scissor Sisters many years ago, but I don't revisit it too much.
Yeah. And I've only like ran into animatronic in like friend circles. Mm-hmm. So, but I think she's DJing and
yeah, you know, she's around town
doing different projects still.
And Baby Daddy, I think, doing some stuff like producing and behind the scenes kind of stuff.
Right. Yeah. Like, they're still like living on and just like not as the Scissor Sisters.
Yeah. I feel like they're a good band, though, that maybe 5-10 years from now could do some sort of reunion around the first two albums. And that could be fun.
Oh, you know? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. When their reissue or, you know, 15 reunion tour or something like
that. I think that would be really fun. Yeah.
15 priority passed. I don't know.
I think we're around 15 for around the debut. 15? Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that should be coming up soon.
Yeah. Keep an eye out. You know, another piece of news that I think would be a nice segue to our repeat skip is Built to Spill.
Yes.
Speaking of reunions and kind of coming back, although they never really split, but they're celebrating the 20th anniversary of their 1999 release. Remind me what it is again.
Keep It Like a Secret.
Sorry. They really, you know what it is for me? In the late 90s, early 2000s, it all kind of blends into one for me, only because when I was playing songs on my college radio station, I don't recall like which tracks certain albums are from regarding Built to Spill, because they all kind of sounded similar in a sense.
Yeah.
You know, there was like a common thread to each one of the releases for me.
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of times like these like old indie rock albums, they won't have like 20 hits on it. They'll have like a couple hits, and then the rest are kind of more like, I don't know, the atmosphere around those kind of hits or something like that.
Yeah.
But you know, I think that I, you know, what is this? The 20th reunion?
It's the 20th anniversary of that album.
Of the Okay. The issuing of it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they're, I think they're reissuing it and they're touring. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Reissuing and touring. But yeah, so, you know, I listened to it again just to remind myself. It's been kind of a while since I've listened to this album, mm-hmm. to be honest. And I was kind of surprised listening to it that I like only kind of really liked a couple of the tracks on here.
For me, there weren't that many standouts, not because I disliked the album, but just because I think a lot of it was very similar sounding.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I always kind of felt that way about Built to Spill. Like there's a signature Built to Spill sound, and I feel like they never really varied too far from it.
Yeah. You know? I mean, it's definitely like a well-known album of theirs, and like, but I, you know, I would say I like other albums of theirs more, mm-hmm. Than this one. So, cause I was reading that they kind of played the entire album at Riot Fest a couple years ago, mm-hmm. and then re-listening to it, I was like, wait, who wants to hear all these songs?
I think there are definitely a couple songs that you just go to the bar for.
Right. You know? Yeah, okay. Yeah. It's more like look at your feet, bob your head.
Yeah, yeah.
And like kind of get lost in the feel of it.
Exactly.
Kind of music.
Exactly.
More than like hit after hit after hit.
Yeah.
But I don't know, like, what was your kind of favorite track on
it? My favorite track, you know, I feel like recently I've been picking a lot of the quote unquote singles, but I do feel like Carry the Zero is one of the strongest tracks on the release. And I think it was kind of a single, at least to college radio, it was a single.
Yeah.
And that was my repeat. I just want to say quickly about Built to Spill is that I have a very specific memory of Built to Spill from back, you know, almost 20 years ago. And it was just after 9/11. I was in college and I had bought tickets to see them at 9:30 Club, you know, a month prior or something. And the show date was either September 14th or 15th of 2001. And it, obviously that week was so bizarre.
Mm.
And I didn't know if the show was going to get canceled or not. And the show wound up going on, and I wound up going because it was the only thing to kind of keep me out of the insanity of it all. And It was a really special gig. And I mean, Built to Spill was never my all-time favorite by any means, but it was, I don't know, there was something that they brought that night that was like a sense of comfort, unity. I'm really glad that I escaped and kind of went to that show, because it was really, it was a miserable week for everybody, you know? And I think that show was either on Friday or Saturday. So, I don't know. I kind of needed it. And, I'm glad that it went on. And I don't know. That's my memory. Of course, on that tour, they were promoting the album that followed, which was called Ancient Melodies of the Future. All but right. They played a bunch of songs from this release also.
Yeah. I mean, Doug Marsh, like, his voice is pretty distinctive. And, like, it can have really moments of, like, happiness and joy and, like, kind of whimsy. And then also kind of get dark and sad and like a little broodier. So, you know, probably pretty appropriate for.
It was oddly, like maybe, you know, the perfect show to go to.
Yeah, that's awesome.
What was your repeat?
It was that or The Plan. It was Carry the Zero or The Plan. Yeah, there are only like a couple tracks that I thought were like really like catchy enough to like want to listen to over and over again. What was your skip?
My skip was Broken Chairs, which I believe is the last track on the album. I just remember it goes on and on. It's almost 9 minutes long, and it was a little too meandering for me.
I just thought like, yeah, that track just like disrupts the sound so much of the album. It's like a little too like aggressively bluesy for me instrumentally. So I didn't really like that, you know, at all.
So that you agree? Was that also your skip?
Yeah, I mean, it was like, I think it was a terrible way to close out the album. But you know, not, I wonder if like if there's a story behind the title. Keep it like a secret.
Yeah. They always had good titles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of like, you know, sometimes, you know, back then you title an album and it kind of gave you some, you know, feeling about the album. So I think in that way they created the perfect title, because I'm attracted to the title. But like listening back, I just forgotten how few of the tracks that I actually really listened to on repeat.
Same.
I went back and I was like, I think I thought this album was actually another album, and I went back to look and I was like, oh, I thought it was There's Nothing Wrong with Love, which is an actual album.
You know what it is? I think
that
all
I just love.
That is I think that's a stronger one as well. I think also because a lot of their album titles are almost like half sentences. It's easy for me anyway to kind of confuse one for another.
Yeah,
it's not like one is a one syllable thing and the other one is a sentence, right? You know?
But like that, you know, a lot of those songs that were on that album were on the mixtapes that I used to get from my friends. So like, you know, In the Morning, that was like a very happy, like, wake up in the morning kind of song for me that I, like, love listening to. And then Cleo was, like, the more sadder, you know, kind of, you know, cry myself to sleep song or something.
That's a
like
good
that.
One.
And then you said you liked Car.
Yeah,
right?
Car was, but that's also because of a mixtape that someone made me.
Great mixtape.
And that was
song.
My first introduction to Built to Spill, actually, when I was probably 18. Yeah, Built to Spill was, you know, one of my top, I don't know, 20 acts when I was in college.
Yeah.
But I have to say, I really have not listened to them in a long time.
Yeah.
You know?
I haven't listened to them in a while. Probably the last song I remember to actively listening to was like Going Against Your Mind, which is
That's a great track.
That was so good. I can listen to Doug Marsh sing whatever. I don't think it has to be like a hit sounding catchy track for it to be good. It's just, you know, in terms of like trying to pick a track that you're gonna repeat and like you're gonna skip, you know could be a little more critical. But like I love Built to Spill and I could listen to them.
Yeah. You know what you're getting when you press play on Built to Spill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if I were to pick like a seminal that I would want to hear like the entire album, it would definitely be There's Nothing Wrong with Love over Keep It Like Secret. Mm-hmm. That's just my opinion.
I agree.
But, you know, speaking of, you know, kind of like weird September 11 memories, our next kind of album that we were going to repeat and skip is Radiohead, Kid A. I remember going to see that the concert for that, like at Liberty State Park, I think, in Jersey. And it was right before September 11th. And so that'll always stick out in my mind. Because I actually had to travel through, I think, the World Trade Center to get to, like, whatever ferry was going to take me to Liberty Island at the time. So that was, like, literally the last time I was in the Trade Center.
I unfortunately missed that set of shows that they did there at that point. I saw them at Liberty State Park a few years later on the In Rainbows tour. And then I think, it was In Rainbows. I think they were headlining some festival that was short-lived. And they did two nights there. I had weird Radiohead luck. Like, they were actually, the first show I ever saw was Radiohead. They opened for Alanis Morissette in Jones Beach in 96.
Oh, wow.
And then I just had really terrible luck seeing them on OK Computer tour, on with the Kid A tour. And then starting in like 03, then I had like my magic Radiohead luck again. And I've seen pretty much every local show since. But I'm bummed I missed that. But they still play a ton of Kid A stuff to, you know, I saw them, when was it, last summer at MSG. They did four shows. I went to two of them, and they did like half of Kid A. So it's still part of the repertoire, you know.
Yeah, I mean, to me, there were, I don't know how you feel about it, but like, to me, there were like a couple good tracks, and then just a lot of other forgettable tracks. So.
I do love this album, but I have to say it wasn't one that I was immediately drawn to. For me, I have such deep connections to, and I want to preface this by saying I understand that musically it's not, it's two of maybe their least inventive albums, but The Bends and OK Computer have such a, for me during my teenage years, those albums meant everything to me, and I played them repeatedly in my headphones and on my Walkman, and cried to them and sulked to them, and I had such a deep connection that pretty much when I got to college and Kid A was put out, I went to the midnight sale when it was to buy it on CD that night in 2000. And I was so turned off at first. I said, what are they doing? It's so experimental. It's so spacey. It's so weird. It's so repetitive.
Yeah.
It made, for me, it was a, it didn't seem like the logical follow-up to OK Computer. But then I grew to love it. And I still love this album, actually. Anyway, all that to say, my favorite, I think, if I were to pick, is probably Idiotech, which is like this weird, fucked up version of a disco song. They still perform this live, and I would say it's kinetic and strange, and one of the best songs that they still perform live. And it really, for me, stood out as a track that has no connection whatsoever with their earlier stuff. From this point on, Kid A, and maybe in particular Idiotech, they really went in a different route, kind of embracing electronics and synths and weird computer sounds. And I'm rambling, but all that to say, this is my favorite from this album.
Yeah, I totally agree. Like, everything you said, like, I do think it was a more experimental album, and like them branching out into new songs, and they did it with a bang, because I think this is like one of the first singles, if not the first single.
This album, I want to say, was the first one they had that they, I want to say, it debuted at number one on Billboard.
Crazy.
Yeah
crazy. And yeah, maybe like a part of me was like disappointed back then even with like most of the songs, but I did kind of love Idiotech no matter what, though. It was like, it's just such a good track no matter like what you thought of like the older, if you love the older stuff, like it was hard not to love this track.
Yeah. And I think we both agree that the intro track, Everything in Its Right Place,
it's really good.
Yeah, all of a sudden when you press play on that track and it's like the weird keyboardy thing into the bass line or whatever, it takes you there. Yeah. I don't know.
Actually, yeah. You know, it's a great opening track in that it kind of sets you up that maybe there's like a change.
Yeah.
You know?
And like, I mean, it's, they're really only about 4 or 5 lyrics to the whole song, and they keep being repeated.
Yeah. But to such effect, there's such drama to it.
Yeah.
And then it kind of, they kind of launch into their album after that.
Exactly.
What was your skip on this?
My skip was Tree Fingers, which is in the middle of the album, and it's an instrumental track. It's very pretty. I just, for me, I don't know. I think one of the reasons why I've been a Radiohead fan for so long, and I'm so drawn and I get so emotional when I listen to Radiohead, is because of Tom's vocals and because of Tom's lyrics and because of the mood. And I feel like that didn't set it as much. If I were to pick a second, I might do the title track, because I just feel like that was a tough one to digest. I mean, I grew to love it, but not my fave.
Sure.
Yeah. What about you?
I don't know, like, I basically would skip them all except for Idiotech, except for Everything in Its Right Place, and except for the National Anthem. And then the other ones, I think I probably wouldn't remember too much.
National Anthem is, that's such a great live track too.
Really good.
Yeah. That was one of the bigger songs on the album.
Yeah.
Bigger in the sense of like, I don't know. A lot of this album I feel is very intimate and very headphones kind of music. And that is like the kaboom moment.
I mean, it's weird because like when I first listened to Radiohead, I thought, oh, they're so cool. They're so weird. They're so kind of like nerdy. But then at some point, they just went so mainstream. And I think
the fan base is so bad. I mean, the last few years when I've seen them, it's real bad. You know, and everyone everyone still in 2019 is still waiting to hear Creep. And I'm like, it's not going to happen. And also, this is why you spent $150 for this ticket, you know?
I mean, it's crazy how big they got. They're just like another one of those bands that I just thought would be like nerdy, weird band. Mm-hmm. And then they just got so huge. And, you know, it's hard to enjoy them after a certain point for me. I think I like start to lose track of bands after a little bit, because they, I don't know if it's like a cartoon or like some kind of weird mainstream cheese factor that kind of starts to seep in and, you know, and then I just stop paying attention.
Yeah. I think for me, since Kid A, in the 19 or so years that have passed, there have been one or two albums that I think are on the more forgettable side, notably King of Limbs. But, you know, I think they're still able to produce magic. Not as frequently, maybe, but the last album was stunning, A Moon-Shaped Pool, and that was a really kind of deeper emotional journey. And I feel like that actually is, in a weird way, like a cousin album to Kid A. But yeah, it doesn't work as regularly as it used to, in my opinion, but I'm still drawn. Actually, a few months ago, Tom York did a brief solo tour, and he didn't do any Radiohead songs, but he did stuff from The Eraser and the other Tomorrow's Modern Boxes, and then the Suprisia soundtrack. And that was really moving show, I have to say.
I can imagine, like, just seeing him, like, it's captivating no matter what, just because of the type of performer he is. He's just so deep into it. That, like, it's easy to get lost with him in, like, whatever he's singing, you know? So even if he's singing kind of a boring song, I bet it's really, like, fascinating to watch him perform it, because he's such a, like, I don't know.
Exactly.
Weirdo, like, who gets, like, lost in the, you know, the performance or whatever.
Exactly, yeah.
So that was our episode 5.
Yay. Thanks again for tuning in. We'll be back shortly.
Yeah, we'll catch you next time on Mixtape Memories.
See you.
Bye.